traits that these people are showing up and characteristics that they're showing up with, hating, killing, murder, all that stuff is happening in our world right now. You know, it's time. It's time for us, the church, to be prepared to take on all of these things that's in the world right now. Church folks, this is your job. The world, the scientists, the epidemiologists, the doctors, they're fighting. You can see it on TV, the little children at St. Jude Hospital with all those cancers. I don't know, not one saint that went in there and tried to cast out the demons of cancer. We don't have to really go there. We can do it through prayer. So let's arm ourselves with prayers so that we can fight the cancer spirit. We can fight the Alzheimer's and all those spirits. We don't have to go to these people. We can just speak the word only. Just like the man told Jesus. Jesus, you know, I'm in authority. I recognize authority. You don't have to come under my roof. I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. Just speak the word only. In fact, you know, they have all kind of things the church do. I'm back on the church now. They're not prepared. You know, they have read all kind of assignments. They have taken all kind of notes. They have notebooks full of the word and assignments. You know, they have on their computer, they have documents, sections on their phone and on their computer that's loaded with notes, outlined with numbers and ABC order, scripture text, everything arranged and outlined beautifully. But they haven't prayed over these notes. They haven't confessed them. They haven't meditated, studied, and they haven't invited God in their prayer life and their study so that he could come in and with the power, with his power, he can open their minds, open the eyes of their understanding so they'll understand what it is they're reading and what they need to do.
This is what we like to call you, Jesus, Jesus. That's what we call you, yeah. You were born in a manger, but on a tree
died to save man. The
This is KAYT. Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles right quickly to Hebrews 11 and 2. I'm going to try to be like the verse, short. Hebrews 11 and 2. Amen. Is that a real baby crying? Bless the Lord. Amen. I know I got one helper in the house.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hebrews 11 and 2, when you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Begin reading now. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. The Bible says, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Now, my brothers and sisters, you know, of course, Hebrews 11 and 1 starts off, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Then it goes on and it says in verse 2, for by it, and everyone knows that it means faith. Faith. For by faith the elders obtained a good report. Now, who are the elders? Who are the elders? Because when we think of elders in this day and time, we think of ministers, pastors, preachers, men. But when this word says elders, it's talking about something far more expansive than just the preachers or just the men of God. It's talking about the people of God who operated in faith. The elders did not just consist of men or brothers, as the scriptures will show us very plainly. And if it says, by faith or by it, the elders obtained a good report, the next question is, what is a good report? And I think it'll be helpful for us before we go any further into this book of Hebrews chapter 11, known as the champion chapter of faith. It does us well to understand what a good report is. And simply, a good report is believing and aligning and speaking what thus said the Lord. When we recognize what a good report is, you remember, let me make it very clear, very quickly. When Moses sent out 12 spies to spy out the land that God told them was there, when they went into the land of Canaan, there were, the promises of land flowing with milk and honey, with large fruit, with walled cities and beautiful homes and all of these things. And when they went over there, they discovered that what they were looking for was there. It was real. But here was the problem. What they came back, 10 of them, came back with a negative or a bad report, and only 2 of them, Caleb and Joshua, came back with a good report. Now, let me tell you what the difference was. The difference was the 10 that came back told Moses, yes, the land does flow with milk and honey. Yes, it has fruit so large it takes 2 men to carry 1 bundle of it. Yes, the houses are beautiful and sealed. The walls of the city are sealed. All of this is true. But what they didn't tell you was that there were giants in the land. And we can't overtake those giants. As a matter of fact, they declared that we are like grasshoppers. Grasshoppers in the sight of these giants. How did they know what they look like in the sight of the giants? I was a little boy and I was amazed even at the cartoons that big old elephants were afraid of what? The little mice, little bitty mice that they could stomp on. They could kill a man with a hit of their paw or with their trunk, and they let little mice scare them. Well, here's what I'm trying to tell you. They came back with a negative report saying that they could not take the city that God had promised to them. Old man Caleb and Joshua said, yes, we can. Let us go up once, at once, and possess the city. You see, Caleb and Joshua had a good report because their report lined up with what thus saith the Lord. You can't look at what you see when you're walking in faith, because the Bible makes clear to us, the just shall live by faith. And so we must understand that we can't walk by faith and talk by faith and then be afraid to believe that what God says is true by faith. No matter what we see, we've got to recognize that the enemy ain't fighting us, he's fighting our God. And all our God needs is a representative in the earth realm so that he can show up and do great exploits through us and for us and with us to show the enemy that he can take the very thing that the enemy messed over in the beginning of time, and that very same thing that God has put enmity between can come back and tear down all the very works of what he began in his evil works with Eve. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. For by it, faith, the elders obtained a good report. And that means this very simply. If God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Now, here's the truth of the matter. If God said it, that settles it, whether I believe it or not. But when I believe it, then I obtain a good report with God. And that means then that God has the ability to do in me, with me, through me, and for me what he desires. If you go back to Genesis chapter 12, when God tells Abraham to leave his father and his family and his land and all that, and then he makes Abraham 7 promises.
Yeah.
One, he says, I will make of thee a great nation. Two, he says, I will make thy name great. Three, I will bless thee. Four, I will make thee a blessing. Thou shalt be a blessing. Five, I will bless them that bless thee. Six, I will curse them that curse thee. Seven, in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. 7 promises.
Yes, sir.
Let me ask you a question, and it's a rhetorical question. But how many of you know how many of those promises came to pass while Abraham was alive? Look at what verse 13 says. These, everybody from Abel and Cain all the way up to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, all the way up there. That included Noah, that included Enoch, all of those. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them, and embrace them and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims, what? on earth. Now, what was that simply saying? They believed that God was going to do it, one, sooner or later. Two, on this side of glory or on the other side of glory. Here's what they believed. God's going to do it when he gets ready. Now, here's what they had no issue with. Believing God. Let me say that again. They had no issue with believing God. Let me just back up where I just came from here. Verse 12 says, therefore spring there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars in the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Now, what are they talking about? They're talking about Abraham being an old man. Now, remember, he was 75 when God made him the promise. He was 100 years old when God produced Isaac for him. So now, when it said he was as good as dead, it meant his reproductive organs and so forth were dead. In other words, at this point in time, he should have been past producing children. And if he wasn't, his wife was. Because she was 10 years younger than him. But she was already barren. And he had already made, how am I going to make of you a great nation when you can't have no children? So that meant he had to. He made Abraham the promise that they would be able to have an offspring. And Isaac would be that child of promise, and he would have that. But again, you've got to realize that he was nearly 100 years old, 99 years old, when his wife Sarah got pregnant, 100 years old when Isaac was born. If that ain't nearly dead, tell me what is. Well, let me back up to the 11th verse. And it says that Sarah, through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. What does past age mean? When she had gone through the change of life. All right, now keep in mind, she was already barren, but even on top of that, so that made it doubly impossible for her to have a child. And doubly impossible was the reality that she had to live with, but because of faith, she received strength to conceive seed. And listen at this, another thing that's so important was that she believed him that made the promise to her. She believed. In other words, everything in her body, including her age, said it's impossible to have a baby. Number one, you are very barren. Two, now you're too old. You've gone through the change of life. Three, what makes you think at this point in life you're going to have something now? Now, but because of her faith and because she believed him that promised her, she was able to have her child. Verse 10 says, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham kept looking for the city that God promised him when he left his father's house, when he left his land. Abraham was a heathen. And because of his faith in God, God made him a believer. And as a believer, he became the father of faith. And because of as the father of faith, he gave us an example of the fact that if you believe God, No matter what you are, no matter where you come from, no matter what your denomination is, no matter what your situation is, if you believe God, God can turn your situation around. If you go to verse 8, he says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a land which, what? Verse 8. He was called to go out into a land which he should what? By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a land which he should receive after he did what God told him to do, something would happen. And this man simply got up, went by faith, didn't know where he was going. But at 75 years, he gathered all his stuff. He gathered all his people. He gathered everything that was his and took out, not knowing whether he should go. Verse 9 says, by faith, he sojourned in the land of promise. What was the land of promise? The land of promise was the land that God promised him. Everywhere his foot would trod, everywhere he would go, God would give that to him. So he, everywhere he stepped, it was the land of promise. Do you know what kind of faith it takes at 75 years old for you to keep on going and don't know where you're going, but yet when you believe God and say, every step I make, this belongs to me. If I go north, it belongs to me. If I go south, it belongs to me. If I go east, it belongs to me. Anywhere I put my feet, it belongs to. Would you get tired of walking? No, you might rest a little while, but listen. So he sojourned in the land of promise and dwelt in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. God made Abraham the promise, he made Isaac the promise, and he made Jacob the promise. That's why when the saints prayed of old, they used to say, to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Why? Because these were the three that believed God and did great exploits in the faith that God gave to them. Now let me just skip down to the end of the chapter for a quick moment and share something with you. Now verse 2 says of Hebrews 11, for by it the elders obtained a good report, right? Good report, good report. That simply meant that they were in favor of God having done the right thing. God was pleased with their level of faith and operation. All right, verse 39 says what? Okay, we don't have but three or four readers here. All right, and what? All right, and all these having obtained what? All right, received not the promise. All of them having obtained a good report, received not the promise. I'm gonna tell you this and we're gonna go home back in the rain. Verse 40 says, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. What are you saying? What are you saying? In this chapter of champions, champions of the faith who believe God, who obtain good reports. In other words, they align their walk, their talk, and their obedience to the word, the will, and the way of God. They did what God told them to do. They believed what God told them. They said what God told them to say. In other words, God was pleased with their performance. And because of that, he promised them certain things. But all of them did not receive the promises God made to them. But not one of them doubted God. Listen now, listen. I need you to understand that they all operated in faith. So let me tell you, real faith isn't predicated on what you see or what you get. Real faith is predicated on what you believe. I believe the report of the Lord, whether it comes now or tomorrow or not in my lifetime on this side. It doesn't mean God is a liar. It doesn't mean God's not going to do it. It doesn't mean God's not going to fix it. It just means not right now. But I know he's not a man that he should lie, so I know he's going to fix it. He's going to work it out. It's going to happen either on this side or the other side. That's the kind of faith these people have. But let me share with you the biggest promise of all of them that made all of this work. They weren't just looking for the things to happen. They were not looking for that. Because if they were just looking for things to happen, then they would still be undone underneath the skin. But they were looking for the promise of the Messiah, which was Jesus Christ. This is the promise that this verse is talking about. They received not the singular promise. Whenever it's singular here, it's talking about Christ. Promises have to do with things offered or things promised, as in material blessings, financial blessings, healings, etc., etc. But when it's a singular, it's talking about the Messiah, Jesus Christ. All these in the Old Testament did not have the Messiah. None of them had Jesus Christ. Not one of them. And look at what they did, not having him, but just having faith in him. Just believing what God said is so. Now, when it says verse 40, God, having provided for us, some better thing. What is it talking about? The Old Testament was under the Old Covenant. The New Testament is under the New Covenant. The Old Testament was under the old promises. The New Testament is now made with provisions. The Old Testament promised Christ. The New Testament provided Christ. In other words, all those who lived in faith and died in faith did so looking for Jesus. That's one of the great reasons why when Jesus died on Calvary and they put him in that borrowed tomb and he stayed there for 3 days. Why 3 days? Because he had work to do. He went into the heart of the earth and he began to unlock the cells of the saints who died in faith looking for his coming.
And everybody that had died in faith looking for the promise, Jesus was that promise. And so he unlocked all the cells of the saints who had died looking for him. And he had to go down there and open up every cell of every saint who had walked in faith, lived in faith, died in faith, waiting on him to let them know, I didn't come while you were alive, but you're going to live again.